newspaper covering four counties in Pennsylvania and New York along the Upper Delaware River, riverreporter.com. And from listeners like you.
It's WJFF Jeffersonville, W233AH Monticello. Local news, culture, and NPR supported by listeners like you. And that's why, listener, right now, we need your support. Call 845-482-4141 and help us end this fun drive. I'm Jason. Tim is here.
Hey.
Tim, how much do we still have to raise?
$564.
Oh, my goodness. That's the first time in the last couple hours that we went away and then came back and the number didn't change.
It didn't change. So the wheel hasn't moved. Yeah. It needs to move to 100%. It's at 99%. I'm looking at it, just staring at it. Move, please. Sending energy toward the wheel of progress. We need you to move. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. Sending out that energy to you as well. If you have not donated yet, $564 to go and it will end the drive.
So $564 to go.
Send $64. Send $500. Send $25. Whatever you can do. 845-482-4141. Any of that, any part of that will help. And it will help us end ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
We had anticipated we'd be ending this tomorrow, but with all of the fantastic, wonderful support of our community, from our community of listeners so far, we are almost there. $564 will do it. That's it. We're so grateful to everyone who's donated. We're so grateful to everyone who listens. We are going to be so grateful to anyone who helps us end this drive right now at 845-482-4141.
Yeah, and ending it early actually helps us out a lot here behind the scenes, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done around the end of the fun drive and with any weekend of programming here at Radio Catskill and with any time that we've got live musicians performing at the studio. So that's happening tomorrow, and if we're able to make this fun drive tonight, that'll be our kind of thank you celebration to you, the listener. We're going to have free beer from the Catskill Brewery and also food available, oven-baked pizza from Upcycle Brews and Bites in Rock Hill, and live music on our porch, the Tiny Porch Concert. We're going to trademark that right here at Radio Catskill, happening tomorrow. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Where we are right now is that we've heard from so many people. Now, over 320 donations so far have gotten us to the point where we are 99% of the way there. Again, it really is the final percentage that we have here. It's $560. That's about 5% of $55,000. So 1% of $55,000.
That's it. I'm laughing because it's like, 99%? Come on.
99%. So you might not have $560 to give now. If you do, we'd love to hear from you at 845-482-4141, but we'd still like to hear from you if you don't have that amount. How much do you have? How much can you give? You've been thinking of giving $25, $50, $75. Let us know right now. 845-482-4141. If you've been thinking of giving $100, $150, $200 right now, $250 donation would be almost half of what we need to raise.
845-482-4141, WJFFradio.org. The local edition is what we normally have on, and we will have on.
We're about to get to
some of those segments, but I wanted to say that because, you know, local edition is one of our local news programs that we bring you here to give you perspective on what's going on in our region, in our area, from our great, Jason Dole and Patricio Rubio.
And Tim Bruno, because, you know, it's been less than a year since we literally tripled the amount of local news and conversation that we have on air here every day during the week. We have Radio Catskill for an hour in the morning, the local edition for a half hour in the evening. If you rely on these programs to keep on top of what's happening in the many different communities that listen to this station, then you owe it to yourself and your neighbors, the people you may not even know around you in this listening area, to support the station that makes it possible, because it isn't possible without your support.
None of it. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. What do you have coming up?
We've got a check-in with State Senator Peter Oberacker. And then also we're going to get the regular weekly news roundup from Chris Rowley, the Sean Gunk Journal. And that's coming up on the local edition. So we're going to get to that here in just a moment.
And right there, I'm just going to say, like, State Senator Peter Oberacker represents this district in the New York State Assembly and is going to give us an update on the budget progress, which is almost 20 days late. And then you're going to hear from Chris Rowley, who's covering all the stuff that's going over in Ellenville and Ulster County, so that we can stay tuned to what's going on over there. So we're, you know, we're trying to cover as much of the listening area as possible. And that's just in this one show tonight. You know, we, every night we're covering different things. We have a regular check-in with the River Reporter to find out what's going on in the Delaware River community. And then also we check in with the Times Union with what's going on from the Hudson Valley Bureau there. And regular check-ins with community members and organizations throughout the region. If you support that and if you appreciate that, you have to help keep it going by supporting us, because we're listener-supported public radio, and we just have $564 to go to end the drive, and we need your help now.
All right. So as we get into the local edition, remember, we need to hear from you. As this program plays, we're still trying to end this fund drive. Every donation now gets us so close. We just need a few more calls, and yours needs to be one of them. Call in to donate at 845-482-4141 or go to WJFFradio.org. Live from Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm your host, Jason Dole. And coming up, yes, we're going to check in with State Senator for New York's 51st District, Peter Oberacker. But first, we have our regular check-in with Chris Rowley, the Shawangunk Journal. And Patricio spoke to Chris earlier, and the story that they start off talking about is about housing. So let's get right into that here. This is the local edition.
Yeah, it was dead in the water in like 2016. They formally undid it and tossed the permits. So it was completely dead. However, they have vested. They did sink about, they said $1.2 million in 2011 dollars. Which is probably about $3 million now, into infrastructure, which is all there under the trees. They want to pick it up and do it now, but not as senior housing, as workforce housing, as affordable housing. And this is the first time that I have heard of a sort of major development of serious numbers, other than the one that's proposed at the Neverly, whatever the Neverly is going to become, for, you know, ordinary people who will be ordinary jobs, and for young people who could stay and need somewhere they could rent before, you know, while they save up the money to maybe to buy a house. So this is, in a sense, this is huge. We desperately need this. If, for instance, Cresco Labs do eventually come and build their enormous facility in Wawarsing, then they're going to require a lot of workers. And where are those workers coming from? Where are they going to live? So it's for that kind of a thing we need this sort of housing. And this is the first one I have seen right here. The only other one I know of, other than a couple of things, what, up in Forestburg, maybe, but the only other one, that big one I know of, is from Middletown, in that kind of empty space between the malls. But you know, that's quite a ways away from Wawarsing. You know, anyway, the point is that this is a kind of a resurrection from the grave of a fairly large project. Now, there is a couple of issues, and of course, the primary one is the floodplain, because it's right by it's where the two roads meet, and then right just to the east of it, down not much of a slope at all, is the Rondout Creek. And I would think, we're going to run them part of the map, the FEMA map, in the paper this week. And on that map, you can see that about a third of the site is out of the floodplain, in the new floodplain as it now exists, because all the floodplain mapping changed after Tropical Storm Irene, Tropical Storm Lee, and Hurricane Sandy. Those events now more than a decade ago, but those events showed everyone here what can happen in the new slightly warmer atmosphere that we've got now, where we get more rain and these storms come in, and one of these storms can really drop, you know, like a foot of rain. So, you know, that changes that changes things for us here. So with that in mind, we looked at the map, and, you know, they've got enough space on that site, I think. It's I'm trying to think, what's the acreage? I'm just looking here, trying to see what the acreage was. I think it's about 18 acres, actually, they've got. So I think they've got like 5 or 6 acres that, well, maybe more, that would be free of the floodplain problem. And the question is whether the zoning will allow them to squeeze 182 units, presumably, you know, sort of apartment-style buildings. They were going to build senior housing. It was going to be 3 stories tall and would have elevators. Maybe they could do the same thing, only make them into, you know, apartments for young people with families.
Yeah,
know?
So it's they're going to be rentals, not condos, just pure rentals, right?
At this point, I don't know. At this point, I think that's just can they build anything? That's going to be the question. And you know, there was a cute detail about this originally, which was it was going to have 3-story buildings equipped with elevators with and indoor parking spaces below, right? And that the idea there was that the seniors would be able to access their vehicles without going outside, because back then, you know, we had snow. But now, well, we don't have much snow. So,
right.
So, you know, I mean, all I can say is that, you know, this winter, like gone just past winter, we had one real snowstorm. The first one in years where I got 6 inches of snow. And I live at 1,600 feet on the ridge. So, you know, I mean, we get this. You know, like everybody, we get the sleet, the freezing rain, the sleet, the rain, the sleet, you know, and it piles up to about 1.5 inches, and there's nothing you can do with it because it's as heavy as that, whatever. So, you know, but it's not snow. But so this is a very interesting little detail that back then, and it's only 15 years ago, they were that concerned about seniors, you know, needing to be able to access their cars and have to brush snow off them all the time. So anyway, that little detail aside, this is a very interesting development. It's a quiet part of the Route 209 corridor. Across the road, there's a tire place and a restaurant. Hardly anything else around there. So I can't see any neighbors complaining. If they can fit it into the zoning, and there's that much of the property is not in the floodplain, then they'll have a shot. I know that the Wawarsing Planning Board, you know, their ears perked up. They were quite interested to hear about this. But as the board chair, Don Schmalzel, who is an engineer, hydro engineer, and knows these subjects very, very well, and he said, well, I'm not comfortable right now with any approvals because I really have to see the mapping. I have to see where the floodplains are. You've got to establish all of that very clearly. So we'll see. I'm sure they'll be back because, they, you know, for the developers, Jacob Blau and Brown. What was his name? Stephen Brown. Jacob Blau, Stephen Brown. I believe their company is actually headquartered on Far Rockaway, so they're from the other side of the city, but they seem very keen, and they have a lot of money already sunk in the ground there, so I'm sure they would like to resuscitate it and get this going, and they could make quite a bunch of money out of it, I would think. You know,
I mean, the need is there. We talked about many times how the need of housing is available. I mean, we don't know if it's going to be fully affordable housing and how affordable these apartments are, because the rents are really have gone skyrocketed since the pandemic.
Yeah.
I was just hearing a story on NPR about how some of these landlords working together sort of gouge some of the rents and raise them. More than, you know, they allow, because they can, because the market, there are people there who can't afford it, and they're going for there, and then the locals who need apartments are being sort of priced out of their own little town. But I mean, to me, the way when I heard the story, it seems positive in a way that there is a talk about some housing being built for folks who want to live here, and the workforce housing.
Well, Blau and Brown were very clear. They said over and over, workforce housing. They were talking about, you know, writing something. I mean, building something. Sorry, the wrong word. Building something. You know, for exactly the people, for young people who want to stay in the area, for young people who got a job here right. or start a business here. You know, I mean, you start a business. Well, you know, from the first few years of starting any business, you are desperate, right? Unless you've got a very rich uncle helping you, you know, it's hard, and you need somewhere to live. You and your wife, you got a kid. Oh man, you know, it piles on. So to help those sort of people, because we need them in all sorts of ways, this is exactly what we need. But you know, we have reached that point where we have a large population of older people sitting in their homes, and they don't have anywhere to go, really, except into the senior housing, which is kind of limited anyway. So the whole thing is kind of clogging up. And somebody said the other week, I was covering town of Marbletown town board, and somebody on that board said, "Yeah, we need to change things around here. Need change zoning. They're considering us some zoning changes, because look around you. Everybody here is you know, over 60. There's no young people.
No. Yes, the huge.
And there aren't.
There's a huge gap. I mean, I think the trend might be trending backwards now, as far as like the more people are, more young people are coming up here or staying here who do live up here. But you're right. For years, there's always been this huge gap from early 20s, and then it just drops off until later years, you know, because a lot of folks leave the area for better jobs, better opportunities, better healthcare. Maybe the trend is, it could be changing, because I said that there is that because of the pandemic, a lot of folks moved up here from the city who have kids. Maybe their kids want to stay here. And I spoke to a couple of young people who are want to make, you know, Sullivan County, the Catskills, Ulster County home. And there could be more opportunities coming up here.
There could be. And we need the young people, because, hey, anybody over 60, you know, is not volunteering for the fire. They're not going to be, you know, I mean, the fire guys are aging out. We need fresh young men and women. For fire, for ambulance, for all the volunteer services that we depend on. I did a piece this week, caused by a lady, Patricia Shaw, coming into the town board to talk about NAMI, a National Alliance for Mental Health, Mental Illness. Sorry. Which is another volunteer side of things. You know, they all the volunteer organizations are desperate for people, and they need young people. I mean, that's one of the things. I mean, our ambulance corps, our fire departments, they all depend on young people. And there isn't a single fire. There's not one single fire department that I know of from Northern Orange County, right across Ulster County, up into Solomon County, that's anywhere near full strength. Right. They're at like, you know, 40-50% of what they need, and that can really hurt us, because you know if you've got half the blokes are off down somewhere else, Westchester, you know, working, and fire call goes up and there ain't enough people to run the fire truck out. Well, they ain't going.
Yeah.
You know, and that's disastrous. You know, so. And a similar thing with the ambulance, you know.
You mentioned that, because, you know, that's an ongoing problem, the recruitment that's going on. But I was talking to a fire coordinator recently, and we talked about housing, about how the explosion of housing is happening here in Sullivan County. Large developments are going on, and he's nervous about, you know, the lack of fire service to these developments, just because there's the lack of firefighters. So you have developments that have, like, say, 180 units, or another development that's down the road, another 180 units, And it's sort of stretching the firefighters thin. Before you had single family homes here and there, and now the influx of people coming up here, the need of first responders is even greater, or going to be greater.
Yeah, absolutely. I see some of the new people here showing that they understand that, but I'm not seeing a lot of them who exhibit a desire to be, working volunteering for fire, which is a serious commitment, a lot of time, a lot of training, these things are all, these things are all part of the, and basic to it is the housing that young people can get in somewhere, get a nice apartment, start a family and the rest of it. The alternative is we just become very gray, old, bald community on the male side. And we'll have to eventually go to an incredibly expensive alternative called paid fire and paid ambulance. And that will raise the taxes into the sky, yeah. So it's in our interest to see affordable housing built.
Yeah.
It really is.
And thank you, Patricio. Thank you, Chris Rowley. This is the local edition here on Radio Catskill, local news that comes to you every weekday evening here, and we need your support to keep this show going and keep the station that hosts it going as well. Call now, give what you can as we try to end our spring fund drive, 845-482-4141, or go to wjffradio.org.
You're listening to the local edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Well, New York State lawmakers are on the verge of passing a $237 billion budget almost 3 weeks after the budget was due on April 1st. The raft of proposals is expected to pass through the legislature late today and into the weekend. Patricio Rubio spoke to New York State Senator Peter Oberacker, who represents the 51st District in New York, which includes our listening area.
State Senator Peter Oberacker of the 51st District, the deadline for the budget has came and went. I know you're going to be working through the night to get this done. We are recording this on April 19th in the morning. What is the current state of the budget?
Well, so last night, first thing we did was pass our fifth budget extender. So that only gave us another day, if you will. The budget is not just one vote or one bill, if you will. It's actually 10 bills total. Last night, we were able to pass three bills of the budget. That would be the revenue side of the budget, what we call, we have these acronyms. So we had what's called TED, which is the Transportation, Economic Development, and Environmental Conservation Bill part of the budget. And then we have what's called PPGG, which is Public Protection and General Government Services Bill. So we were able to pass those last night. But what, really comes out, unfortunately, is just the whole budget process. We're late. This is our fifth extender. There's policies that are finding their way into these parts that we passed just last night, which blurs, if you will, or likes to muddy the waters, so to speak, because there's some things in this budget that I could absolutely support without a doubt. But when I weigh those against the other policy items that are in the budget, it makes it extremely difficult to give it an up vote tonight. We were told to get in here early. I was just informed that we won't be going into session till 1 o'clock this afternoon. We were hoping to get in there this morning because we have six other pieces to pass. I hope to come out of probably early tomorrow morning with these budget bills being passed and get back to the work that I was elected to do, which is to represent the people in the 51st.
Could you go more into detail exactly what are some of the things you were against in the budget or some of the things you were fighting for to be in the budget?
Sure. First and foremost, it's a $237 billion budget, raising another $8 billion over last year's budget. We have the process of message of necessities. So in other words, by Constitution, bills that are printed, once we get them in a printed form, should age 3 days, allowing us, meaning the legislator, and the public, to really get a chance to review, digest what is being presented, and know, I guess, the ramifications of the what's being proposed moving forward. But these bills, all of them, were accompanied by a message of necessity, thereby not allowing the proper time to age. We get the bills, we get them printed. We have maybe last night an hour or two at the most to delve into this and to actually understand just what is being proposed and going on. And that's no way. I don't care, take any political position, any party politics out of it. That's no way to truly run the great state of New York. I'm sorry. It's archaic, and more appropriately, it's inappropriate. It's just, it should not be. We are better than this is where I want to go. We are better than this.
And of course, you're dealing with people's lives here, the long-term effects of the budget. You are talking numbers, but behind those numbers are actual people.
Sure. 100%. 100%. One of the in the TED portion, the Transportation Economic and Development Bill, there's a part in there that's called the Rapid Act, okay? And what that essentially does is take away home rule from municipalities when it comes to their deciding their own future when it comes to, say, solar farm or solar arrays, wind turbines, the green energy, if you want to use that term concept. And I'm sorry, I cannot vote in favor of any part of the budget that has that. As a former town supervisor, I can feel that Albany just is in this disconnect mode when it comes to allowing a local municipality to determine what's best for its town's people. So that just gives you a quick idea of some of the things that are there. One other real quick thing under the what they call the PPGG, the public protection, there are some good things that were in there. One of the biggest reasons I voted no on that was in there, the governor would have the ability to close prisons up to five. It says for up to five, and not allowing a 6 month, which is what we currently have, time frame to allow those that would be displaced to basically get their lives back in order and where they're going to go. We tried to press, is it one? Is it two? Is it five? And there was no language in the bill. There was nothing that defined what that number is. How can I vote for something that potentially will have a huge economic impact in my district, and you're not giving me a number of how many or a what I call a runway of time to allow these folks to make those decisions they're going to make to just to continue their lives? It's unfortunate, but this is just some of the things that, you know, some of the things that Albany, unfortunately, we deal with here.
So right now you're in Albany. So what is your day going to look like today and tomorrow as the budget goes forward?
Well, so as of just before we got ready to go on air here, we got a message that we will be going into session at 1 p.m. Now, there are six bills left in to finalize the budget. We are allowed to debate each one of those bills 2 hours. So if it were to go, I'll use the term smoothly, and I'm smiling when I say that, but if it were to go smoothly in that, so there's 12 hours of just debate alone on the bills that we would have. And then as we usually wrap up, a lot of folks have closing statements and will explain their vote on certain portions of the bill and stuff. I'm feeling like we're probably going to be getting out early tomorrow, meaning Saturday morning, hopefully I'm hoping, beyond all hope, that we'll get out of there with the bill. Otherwise, we could be here into Sunday.
You definitely have a long evening and a long morning ahead of you, Senator.
I do. I have some clean shirts, and I will do whatever is needed to be done. And like I said, we'll get through this. We'll get our budget, and then it gets back to work in the districts representing the folks in the 51st.
Well, Senator, thank you so much for talking to me, and good luck tonight. I'm sure you have some caffeine. I don't know if you drink coffee or tea, but I'm sure you have something to sort of help you get through the night.
Yes, I will have a good supply of coffee to get us through these next couple of days.
Thanks. Again, thank you so much, State Senator. We're talking to State Senator for the 51st District, Peter Orbacher, about the current state of the budget. Again, thank you so much for talking to me.